Hi, and welcome. You are listening to Midnight Margaritas. I'm Sky, and I am here with a dear friend of mine, Linda, who is a spiritual healer, spiritual warrior, all kinds of stuff. And I'm going to let her talk because she's just so amazing. I can't put it to words, but, you know, I'll see how she does it.
Well, I do different kinds of energy work. I started probably when I was a child, working with things. I lived in a neighborhood with a cemetery. I used to talk to the ghosts. I used to interact with the nature spirits. I spent a lot of time outside walking around the woods behind the house. That's what I did from the time I was maybe four on.
Sounds very similar to my life.
Yeah, exactly. And that waned and waxed throughout my life. Sometimes it was more obvious, sometimes less obvious. In the late 80s, I met someone who really was extremely psychic and very, very gifted and talented. And that was one of the things that pushed me forward into the space I'm in now, that opened me up to that. I became a Reiki master in, I think it was 1995. I studied all kinds of different religions and philosophies and energy work. And I've kind of pulled it all together into what I do. There are those who maintain that you should have a strict discipline of one thing, which may have been accurate at some point. But I think now there's so much interaction in the world and crossing of cultures in the world that really you take what works for you as a person from the shamanic world, the religious world, the belief system, the energy world, and you combine it into your own system. How you work with things.
Yeah, you take what resonates with you and leave the rest behind and integrate. I mean, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Just integrate it into your own thing. And it's all unique in individualism, but also very similar to, you know, what everybody else does out there. Only, you know, you have, it's beautiful because we can all be individuals in this and all have our own ways of doing things. But the results are, you know, usually the same good, positive, you know, loving vibrations sending out there.
Well, if you have, you know, if you have a garden and you have flowers and you have vegetables, you know, the flowers are food for the soul and the vegetables are food for the body. And, you know, there is nothing, you know, there's no tomato that's better than corn. There's no corn that's better than beet. There's no nasturtium that's better than lavender. There's no lavender that's better than sunflower. It all works to feed.
Exactly.
So it's all the same thing.
That was beautifully put.
So, you know, I do molecular level healing and adjustment of systems of the body and also the field when necessary. Every person is different. What I do is not for everyone at this point because it does require a certain amount of willingness to shift on a level that a lot of people don't even really consciously consider.
And I'm glad you said that because that is so true. It's, and that goes right down to how different we all are in our healing abilities and what we offer. What I offer somebody may not be, you know, right for them. So maybe what you have to offer them may be better fit for them. It's all in what you, who needs what and what resonates with them again. It's all designed perfectly in that way.
Well, you know, if you go in a store and you're buying a pair of jeans, depending on how your physical makeup is, you know, you could go in a store that offers 300 different kinds of pairs of jeans, but and there might be 20 that are maybes, there might be 10 that are pretty good, and then there's going to be the one or two that really fit perfectly. And that's kind of the way energy work is.
Yeah.
Different, you know, little bits and pieces of many things will work, but then every once in a while you hit that one thing that really resonates, that really works with that person. And so I don't try to work with everybody on that kind of a basis. Pretty much the people that need me show up in front of me somehow, they present themselves, and I do what needs to be done. And it's always different. It's always different, and there's always a little element of a challenge in there. Because I'm being pushed to expand all the time.
Right, and that is another great point because, you know, we need to learn and grow as healers as well. I mean, if we stop learning, then what good are we? You know, I think every client that I have always teaches me something as mm-hmm. well. You know, when I do my group sessions in Numa, you've been there.
It's oh, yeah.
Like, I get so much out of it every time. It's like, wow, a whole new session for me too, even though I'm facilitating. It's amazing. You know, and that, again, that's the beauty of the diversity within the collective, I think. And you do a lot of other things. I mean, you work with frequencies, you work with sound and all that cool stuff. So tell us about that too.
So I have a very large gong. It's about 36 inches or so. And when I play the gong, before I play it, and I use other implements too, like rattles and smaller gongs and things like that, bells, et cetera. I put my hands on the gong and interface with the gong, with the consciousness of the gong, and set an intent for it to be for the highest good for everyone that's present. And I can feel the gong warm up. It literally warms up. It kind of wakes up. It's kind of anticipatory, I guess is the best way to say it. And the molecules of the gong wake up. And so I always start with like a really soft tapping of the surface to kind of warm it up and get it cohesive. And then it just goes from there. I have a collection of mallets. I probably have, I don't know, an easy dozen that I work with differently. Different kinds of rub mallets, different kinds of regular mallets, big fluffy mallets, wound yarn mallets. They all produce a different sound. There's always different sounds and resonances all over the surface of the gong. This side might really go one, one, one. This side might just go boom, you know, depending. And if you can get enough pieces and parts of that gong working in together, you get an overlay of multiple levels of sound and vibration.
Mm.
And that really resonates with the human body.
Right.
Because it doesn't want just tone. It wants lots of tones to address, you know, maybe this tone works on the knee and maybe this tone works on the heart chakra and maybe this tone works on the skull and maybe you had a tight spot and it kind of adapts that. But by the time I'm through, the molecules of the gong are in me and through me and I am in the gong. And so not only am I playing the gong, but the gong is playing me.
Mm.
And
so you basically become one with it.
Exactly. And
it's
so,
like being in the zone when they talk about, you know, in sports and you're at the top of your game and you're like, you know, scoring all those points, and they talk about being in the zone. It's like everything else around them just kind of melts away and it's just the ball and the goal, whatever, you know, whether that's, you know, football or soccer or baseball or whatever.
Well, it's interesting. It's almost like a dual. I'm very aware in the room of what's going on behind me. I'm also very aware of the space with the gong, and I'm very aware of the energy in the room. So there's like multiple layers of consciousness going on, you know, and you kind of run a monitor on what's behind you in terms of, you know, is this person uncomfortable? I always tell people, you know, if this is too much for you, don't be afraid to get up and leave the room. If you feel ungrounded, if you feel nauseated, if you are overloaded, get up and go outside, put your feet in the dirt, if that's what it takes. You know, do what works for you. But at the same time, I worked with a bunch of women at one point about a couple months ago, and there was a very young baby, probably 6 months or less in the room, who had been a real pain in the butt all day long. She had come with her mother to the retreat, and she was like, you know,
can
babies.
You blame her?
She was just like over it. She was just, you know,
probably
cranky.
Just like overstimulated from the energy.
Probably.
And just,
yep.
Like,
she was crabby. And as soon as I started to play the gong, she shut right up and went to sleep. And as soon as I stopped, she woke right up and started complaining again. So I thought to myself, okay, so it works on babies.
Yeah,
I haven't had this experience before.
That's great, yeah.
But it has such a different way. Everybody responds differently, and they might come to two or three different sessions, group sessions, and have a different response every time. Some people it'll throw into a physical detox. I have literally had people smell drugs removing themselves from their body through their urine, which is pretty outrageous.
So it's an awful lot like a Numa breathing session.
On its own level, it is. You know, it will detox people. It will shift weight, emotional weight from people. It will shift someone's point of view. You know, if they were looking at like a 90-degree angle. Now they're looking at a 45, and then you can see the fallout, you know, positive fallout usually, although it might look a little rough when it starts.
No, the change always looks pretty scary when it first starts.
Yep. But you know, eventually and that you get to shift
see through the darkness, you know, and see the light at the end of the tunnel.
So it's just, it's really, I never know. It's never the same. It's always different. People like it. And sometimes they're not really sure why they like it, but they like it. Even the people who just say, wow, that was really cool to listen to. And then they cruise on in their life and you never see them again, but you know that something has shifted.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why I like, and you know, and I break it up with rattles and different, you know, just to shift it,
yeah,
just to move it, break it up a little. So, and that helps the people that are there who are perhaps a long sustained gong thing without a break. It helps them kind of recalculate a little bit and mm-hmm. then go back into it. And you have to make allowance for that. And some people journey. Some people just journey. They're just gone. So I always do, you know, this is what the callback will sound like. When you hear this, you have to come back now.
And I'll be like, no, I'm not coming.
But it's just, you know, and it evolves. It evolves. I'm looking for another big gong now so I can put
so
a large.
So you play two at the same time?
Two, yeah. Well, so what I'd like to do is lay someone out on a massage table and put one gong at each end and then work it both ways.
Oh, yeah, that would be really
intense.
Because
that would
I
run
can already feel it.
All the way through the chakras and out and back up through. And so that would really go right down the midline of the body.
Mm. Cool. That sounds intense.
Well, yeah, I've always been intense. So just kind of goes along with what I do.
And knowing you, Linda, I know that's like there's no subtleness about it. You're a lot like me where, you know, the whole subtle frequency shifts and changes aren't dynamic enough. It's like go big or go home.
Yeah, I like movement. Yes, yeah, let's have movement. Let's have precipitation here. Let's have something, you know, let's not just make you decide to change your fingernail polish color. Let's make you decide to, you know, change everything.
Yeah. You said you wanted a new career path. Well, here you go.
Here you go. There's that left. There's that left in the road.
The 90-degree left.
The 90-degree left, maybe with or without a turn signal.
That's right.
You know? Depending on.
Probably without.
Probably without. There's that. I also do massage. I work on hands.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the hands.
Yeah, hands, you know, hands are the way you interact with the world. You intimately interact with people, with objects, with, you know, air, with water, earth, fire, all the elements, everything comes through your hands. I mean, you walk on your feet, you have the same amount of, you have the same intricate patterning of nerve endings, hands and feet, but your feet are, you know, they're touching the earth or they're just walking or they're in boots or shoes or whatever. Your hands are what you use to touch someone you love. Your hands are what you use to pick up the vegetables at the grocery store. Your hands are what you use to direct your car when you're driving.
It's an expression of yourself.
It is. And it's also an interaction. It's a two-way street. Yep. So it's a very intimate thing, you working on someone's hands. And depending what they've done in their life, their IT, they're in the trades, whatever, there can be a lot of tension, stress, arthritis, you know, constriction in the joints. I have a mix of essential oils that I put into an oil as a carrier oil, and that's what I use on the hands. And all those essential oils are designed to warm and soothe, and they're anti-inflammatory, to raise the vibration, to help things feel better. And I've had people that really couldn't open their hands. An hour later, they can open their hands, really open them and stretch them for the first time in years. And they're just like, wow, what is that?
Well, that's interesting. Let me run this by you. Something happened to me in my right hand a few months back, and it literally was in the middle of the night while I was sleeping, and it hasn't been right since. And you know how you have, I don't recall, you know, where I was in the ethers or what I was doing. But when I came back into my body and started to wake up, you know how when you hear people talk about losing a limb or something and having that sensation of that energetic, your spiritual, your astral body part is still there, but your physical part is not. So that happened in one of my fingers in my right hand. And I could feel my energetic appendage, but I could not feel my physical one. Well, my physical one was like this. It was closed right up.
Wow.
And so I literally had to, you know, touch it with my left hand and find it, and finally brought them back together. But ever since then, it sticks. It sticks and it doesn't function properly. You know, it's like, and it's sore, you know, it's sore. It's really interesting. And the whole thought that I have was, I have this issue with Big Brother, you know, Mr. Global watching through all these devices. Right. And I always have a tendency to throw up my middle finger at him and say, fuck you. And I think that somehow on the astral plane, I was interacting with some entity in that way, and my finger might have been removed.
Oh my.
This is what was in my head.
Well,
you
sure
know, because a I lot of times that. you know, when as spiritual warriors we're out on the astral plane in our sleep, and we're actually physically working, and we're sometime in a battle or in a fight, or you know, whether it's an energetic fight or it happens to be a physical fight on the astral plane.
Mm-hmm. And you wake up tired. I went to bed and I woke up more tired than
exactly.
I went to sleep.
And you have aches and pains in your body that you have no idea where the hell they came from. And there's no reason for it like that.
Yep.
So what do you make of that? Working with hands and people's energetic vibrations.
I will tell you that sometimes, you know, energy workers are in the middle of stuff a lot. And sometimes I think that we don't take care to clear stuff off of us, and the detritus will accrue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very important point, that you need to keep everything moving and flowing, and
yep.
make sure your meridians are moving and flowing and stuff comes. Because if you're into energy at all, 99 times out of 100, it's through the hands.
Yeah, it's going through your hands.
It's
whether it's
going
coming in
your
or
hands.
Going out, it's through
it's
your hands.
It's always through the hands.
Yeah.
So I think it's important. You know, I mean, even if you just keep some Himalayan salt by your sink and you get through, and periodically you think, oh, might want to do that.
Right.
And you wash your hands with salt. And it doesn't even have to be that you worked on somebody that day. You
right.
could have just picked stuff up. It's not hard to do.
No, it's
you know?
That's true.
Because you don't know. You know, you go to the store, you pick up a package of celery. How many people picked up that package of celery in front of you? And I'm not talking about like a germ level.
No,
here. Energetic I'm talking
frequencies.
About the imprint
right.
that
right.
people leave in that celery.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have picked that up consciously, unconsciously, whatever, you know. I mean, when I buy food in the store, I'm standing there like, a hand on the food, and I'm muscle testing to see if, you know, is this good? Is this good? Is this good for me? Is this not good for me? Sometimes the answer is really surprising. And I've always wondered, okay, so there's 6 ripe avocados. 3 of them say no. 3 of them say yes. 2 of them are really good. 1 is sort of so-so, and the other 3 are negative. But how much that has to do with the imprint
right,
of the other
people.
Person who picked that avocado up.
Oh,
so then that leads you to, can that the avocado physically feels okay? Does that mean I can take the avocado home and clear it and still use it? Or should I just leave the avocado there?
That's another really good point. Thank you for bringing that up, because I think, you know, I'm going to go back to how I was brought up with my grandparents. And we talk about, you know, family network, and that's gone nowadays in generations, in our generation and my kids' generations. It's like that family network is gone. So, but we used to sit around the dinner table, and we would always say, my grandmother would call it grace, say grace. Basically, you're praying over your food. You're,
mm-hmm.
you're energetically blessing your food. You're cleansing it of all that negative stuff. People have forgotten that. So that's, you know, we got to get back to that. We got to get back to the blessings and being grateful for what we have, but also energetically clearing the negative shit out of our food.
Well, it all, you know, who's cook, especially if you eat in restaurants, mm-hmm. who's cooking the food? How do they feel
what
that
is their,
day?
What is their attitude?
How do they feel about cooking the food?
Right.
You know, did they have a fight with their wife or partner that, or husband or whatever that morning?
Right.
Did that, was their coffee not correct?
Exactly. It's like all these things.
It takes so little.
That energy goes right into that food that's yeah. being prepared. Well, it's the same thing in the food you buy in, a can of vegetables or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Meat that you buy, you know, that, oh, I don't even want to go there.
There's all of that.
That stuff. We were talking about that. But basically, it's like that. Those frequencies of whoever handled that from the moment of being picked or harvested in the, or taken care of the crops, you know, right from there, it all acquires a frequency of the people that have handled it. So, yeah, the clearing of it is very important.
Well, not only that, but, you know, if you want to just address meat briefly, what was the intent of the person who raised this animal?
Yeah.
You know, if you buy something local that was raised and taken care of and, you know, killed humanely and quickly, there's a huge difference in the energetic of the meat.
Right. And that's kind of what I was going after. You know? But you still need to, you know, I for me anyway, I always, when I'm cooking, I always bless it when I'm handling it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like as I'm cooking it, I'm always, you know, blessing it. I'm always, you know, positive, loving vibrations, being grateful. Thank you for your sacrifice. And it's maybe crazy to other people, but.
Well, no, but and that goes for plants and as well as animals.
Exactly.
Because yep. Everything has a consciousness. When yep. you get right down to it, you know, we were discussing metals earlier and, you know, metals have a vibration. You know, certain metals feel one way, other metals feel another way. Everything has an overarching consciousness. You know, when I work with the gong, there's a consciousness in the gong.
Yeah.
Because the gong, for me, is a healing instrument. It's not just, you know, it is, quote unquote, a musical instrument, but it's also an instrument whereby you initiate positive change.
Right.
And so that intent lives in that gong, always.
Always. It's part of its consciousness.
It's part of the gong's consciousness. And since the gong is a particular, and I really do well with metals, so it's even more of an intimate conversation between the gong and I.
So what is your gong made out of?
It's bronze.
Bronze.
It's bronze. Yep. So technically, in many applications, bronze is also a bell metal, which gives it its resonance.
Okay.
It's heavy. It's quite thick.
Yeah,
it's
yeah I've seen big. It. It's beautiful.
You know, but I picked it out. I went to something called Gong Camp years and years ago. I started in the mid 90s working with crystal bowls. And then when I came back to New England from Washington, I took a class on singing bowls, metal bowls, hand hammered bowls, Himalayan bowls. And ran into this gentleman who has been working in Nepal, the Himalayas, all of that since the 70s. And he works in multi-traditions. He works with the Bon tradition. He's worked with the Buddhist tradition. He's extremely knowledgeable. He's like a holder of wisdom. And he works with gongs, resting gongs, which are bowls, and hanging gongs, which is what this particular gong that I use now is. And so once a year before the COVID thing, he was running gong camp, which means you get maybe 20, 25 people in a room with about 40 gongs, different kinds, because he collects gongs. I mean, he has a gong made out of glass.
Wow.
Yeah, which is pretty outrageous.
That's going to be crazy.
So all kinds of different gongs from all kinds of different places, cultures. And, you know, you get in this group of people for 10 days and study various aspects, you know, healing aspects of singing bowls, qualities of singing bowls, qualities of gongs, you know, what can you do with this? How can you make this work? This frequency, this rhythm, the way this moves the body, the way this doesn't move the body, you know, where's the dead? There's always that little spot that doesn't really want to work.
Hmm.
You know, where's that spot? And then there's the spot on my gong that is just hyperactive, hyperactive, and you have to know how to activate that. You have to know how to make that work and really step into it. So it's anyway, his name is Michener. He's very well known in some circles. I owe a lot of knowledge and ability to his being willing to allow his collection and his knowledge to be put out there for people to interact and immerse themselves in. So that's, you know, that's really what kind of pushed me into this, where I am now. Because the crystal bowl was great and I could do a lot with it, but I can do just even so much more. There's so many more possibilities with this particular gong.
Very cool. So did you, random squirrel. So did you take the avocado home?
Yeah, I did. Well, because if it can get on it, you can get it off it,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I agree.
I mean, we're all imprinted in some way all the time. So the question is, do you move the imprint? Do you embrace that particular imprint? Do you get rid of that imprint? Do you take what you can use out of the imprint? Can the rest of it? You know, how do you want to approach this?
Yeah, and it goes back to, it's different for everybody.
Exactly.
Know? And that, I just totally lost my train of thought. Yeah, I mean, frequency is an equation, and we have to just embrace whatever that is. And learn how to work with it.
And everything is different.
Right.
You know, my question has always been, so if the universe is frequency, and if everything vibrates in a certain way, and nothing is actually solid, if it's all held this way, because we agree that it will be on this planet, what is it going to look like here? When you get enough people at critical mass who understand that nothing is solid, and then the entire world goes to that realization and sees everything in a vibrational form.
I know. I can't wait. I'm like so excited. I have chills on that thought.
You know, because everything, when you see everything like that, everything is so bright.
It is. The colors are so intense and the sounds are so crisp. And everything is like completely different.
It is. It's like the difference going from 2D to 3D and then 3D to vibrational. Mm. It's, and that's a very awkward comparison, but it's, you know, when you look at a piece of paper, it doesn't have that third dimension. It doesn't
have any depth to it.
It doesn't have the depth. Thank you. Flat. That's the word I was looking for. So now you translate that depth past the depth. So now you're looking at the depth of the depth, so to speak.
Yeah.
And there it is.
Yeah. Because you can see an object for what it is in the physical three-dimensional, but then you can also see it at the same time as multi-dimensional.
Yeah.
And it's so vibrant, and I just can't even... How do you put that into words?
Well, we don't have language for that. I don't think we have language for that. I just know that, well, it's a little bit like a pointillist painting. You know, you can see all the molecules and you can see the space. And what people have a difficult time understanding is if you have a molecular structure and you have all this space between the molecules, when you are in the presence of like a gong or vibration, a tuning fork, whatever, that's all interacting with all that space. You know, so the molecules are taking like a bath in vibration.
Yeah, they're all interacting and interconnecting. And it's like a sea. I see a sea of molecules or it's amazing. So getting the world populous to critical mass. I mean, we're moving in that direction, but it takes I don't want to say discipline. It's work. You know, people need to work at it. You know, you look at these people that are still asleep, and it's all about like when I talk about breathing, how big do you want it? How bad do you want it? However much you breathe, however big you breathe is what you're going to get out of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you want more, you're going to have to do more.
Well, it's focus too.
Right.
And we are losing the ability to keep a long focus because things have become very quick.
Well, it's a distraction too.
It's a huge distraction.
Yeah.
It's the inability to hold, you know, the younger people either are very good at meditation or they're terrible. There's not a middle ground. I used to see 20 years ago, I would see the middle ground of someone like, I'd like to learn to meditate, but I'm struggling. And they would sort of step into it. Now they either get it right off or it's just hellish.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of middle ground anymore.
I think that has to do with, we were talking about earlier, the polarization.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's definitely a divide. There's a split there. And I think my whole feeling on it, I could be wrong, but my feeling on what's happening right now and as we ascend into 5D and this extra dimensional, you know, world that we're moving into or universe, I think there would be a complete division on that as well. So we will be, you know, people will be ascending into that where other people will not, and they'll be stuck in this three-dimensional place, whether it's of their own doing by, you know, choosing to not open their eyes, or whether it's, you know, through suppression and lies and manipulation and being caught up in that and not being able to get out of it because at that point they're already lost. I don't know.
Well, I think we're all in it. I think it's just a matter of being conscious of it.
Well, and that's what I'm talking about. It's like,
you know,
but I mean, if you go back to what we were talking about before,
mm-hmm.
about how the elite are, you know, literally programming people's minds on where they want them to be because they're, you know, dumbing everybody down and that's where they want to keep them. I mean, if you look at that, how do those people break free of that? I mean, are they going to be able to break free of that? I don't know. I don't have much faith in it. You know, I have faith in myself and, you know, the people who I can at least, you know, if they're kind of on the border, at least maybe we can open their minds a little bit, get them to look at the truth, get them to see the truth a little bit. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it boils down to fear.
It's absolutely
it's huge.
Fear.
It's fear of change. Always fear of change. And I'm not talking about, you know, you just change where you live. I'm talking about you change the way you interact with your world completely. And that is a huge shift for some people. And some people are much more brittle and they're afraid of the breakage.
Well, and that all comes down to comfort as well. How comfortably are you being numb?
Well, and how comfortable are you being aware?
Well, yeah, that's both sides of the coin there.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, okay, if you're comfortable being aware, then you're not going to have a problem moving forward and, you know, seeing the truth. But if you're comfortable being numb and you enjoy that space and you're not going to want to, even when the truth is put in front of you, you're not going to want to see it. And I have this happen in my family. It's hard when those people don't want to see the truth, even though you've presented them with, you know, thousands of documents of truth and fact and, you know, real stuff. They look at it and choose not to.
Well, and, you know, this is a planet of free will.
Well, and that I don't believe. I mean, we've talked about that in the past,
exactly.
But that's my own.
Well, the original intent was free will.
Right.
So with that premise, it's up to them if they choose X or Y.
Well, and that goes back to, okay, now you're being shown the truth. You have free will to look at the truth and choose to accept that, or you choose to live in the lie. So that's where, you know, again, their free will would come into play. We're empowering them by giving that back to them, but are they willing to take it?
Well, you know, absolute power is either absolutely good or it can go to absolute evil.
Mm.
So the question is, what do you want to step into? Because I think when you come to the absolute, it really is polarized.
It's on either end.
So where are you going? You know, and you always look it's a planet of polarities. So now you're looking at the balance, left and right, good and bad, black and white, da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. But are you going to be able to take the entire mass and bring it to the center where you don't have the teeter-totter effect? Everybody's in the center and they're all aware and they're all moving forward. Or are we going to actually live constantly with the left and the right and the black and the white?
Yeah, see, that's my hope. Hopefully it won't be that way. Hopefully we can move through that and get beyond that at this point in our evolution, because I think that is the ultimate goal and the ultimate plan for us. You know, I really think, I believe that that's where we're supposed to be. So, but how does that look like? We won't know until it actually happens, right?
No. And it could change. It could take place in forms that we would never even conceive of.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, have an open mind and proceed.
Yeah. Well, that's the key, isn't it? Having an open mind and being able to be a critical thinker. And having common sense.
Oh, well, that's kind of, yeah, common sense. You mean the uncommon sense?
Now it's uncommon to have common sense.
It is uncommon. That's why I call it the uncommon sense.
I know. That's so funny. It's so true, though. Yeah.
So what else did you want to talk about?
Just kind of going with it. Where are we for time here? Oh boy, it's getting really late. We should probably call it at this point. What do you think? Do you have any closing thoughts you want to talk about?
I just think if you can start your day out trying to have a positive intent, it's very helpful.
Absolutely.
It kind of sets the tone.
Yeah.
You know, and if you wake up and you're grumpy, don't set your intent until you have your coffee and you've shifted your consciousness a little bit.
Yeah. And on that note, if you wake up and you're grumpy, close your eyes again and do a few minutes of breathing before you get up.
Well, there you go. Coffee or breathing or both.
That'll help shift your... And then go have your coffee. Yeah, absolutely. But no, you're so right. Have a good positive outlook starting your day, and your day is bound to be much more vibrant.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
And keep your eyes open, your ears open, and all your senses open.
Yeah. Just be aware.
Mm-hmm.
Just be aware.
I like that. Just be aware. Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
This was very, very fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. We'll do it again?
Yes.
All right.
We can.
Cool. And maybe you can bring your gong next time in the studio and we can do a little demo of it.
We can do that.
Cool.
We can do that.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much. Oh, wait. So if listeners want to reach out to you, is there any way to get a hold of you, or are you comfortable with that, or do you want them to go through me? And
initially, let's say they'll go through you. Let's see what kind of response we get.
Okay. Great.
And if it becomes, you know, too much, we'll do something else.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you to all you listeners out there. It wouldn't be possible without you, because it would be pretty boring on doing something like this and having nobody listen to it. So I appreciate it. And just remember that this is all our own thoughts, intuition, knowledge, wisdom, and we do all of our own research as well. So take what resonates with you, leave the rest behind. And if you're interested in something that's new to you, don't be afraid to go out there and do the research, but get off of Google, get on Brave, and DuckDuckGo. Those are my 2-3 words of wisdom for the day. Thank you. Over and out.